Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Reawakening Podcast. I'm Brian Ingraham, and it's my heart to see our whole generation reawaken to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. I believe that you can go from where you are today to feeling more fresh and alive with Jesus. That is the whole reason that I'm doing this podcast, is because I want to give you thoughts and ideas. I want to expose you to other people and their journeys in life where they have experienced boosting moments in their life where they've gone from one place in their faith to closer, to better. And so I'm excited for today's learning that we're going to be talking with Stuart in just a few minutes here. But again, I'm encouraging you like to listen and to apply this stuff, to think to yourself, like, how can I take my next step intentionally with Jesus? If you find this podcast helpful, I encourage you to send it to other people, to share it, rate and review, just help get the word out so that other people can be helped by all this goodness. Anyway, so we have Stuart Long here, who's on staff with Rehob Church. And Stuart, why don't you just give us a quick intro to yourself? Like, who are you and what's your story?
Great. First of all, thank you, Brian, for having me on the podcast. This is great. This is so much fun. My name is Stuart Long, and me and my wife moved over to Glasgow in 2020 as missionaries, and missionaries specifically to young adults and students. I grew up a pastor's kid, and so I grew up in church, lived kind of all over in the state. So I was born in Washington State, moved to Florida when I was really little, moved back to Washington State when I was 10 years old, and then moved to college in Indianapolis, Indiana, and then moved back to Washington State, and then back and over to Glasgow. So I've been all over the place, and that's a bit of who I am.
Wow. Now, you've had some different moments in your life where you feel like God has taken you or met with you in certain times in your life, like reawakening moments where you felt like a boost in your faith. What's one example of a time in your life where you felt like God really met you in a special way?
Yeah. So like I said, I grew up in the church, and so the things of God were very familiar to me growing up. I heard the stories that we all hear about on Sundays, the famous stories, David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den, the King David, all these like powerful examples of God's nature and character. My dad was a Bible teacher, and so he loved to just share the stories of God. But I felt like all throughout my journey until I went to college, I really didn't have a personal relationship with God. And I knew that was the case, and I didn't have a whole lot of examples other than, you know, my parents, my family, really showing me what it was like to follow Jesus. And I remember going away to college, and if you're not familiar with the geography of the states, Washington State and Indianapolis are very far apart. And so I wanted to get far away from familiar and just explore what my relationship with God was like for myself and hopefully find that. And I remember when I first came to college, my dad dropped me off and he gave me this book called My Utmost for His Highest, and it's by Oswald Chambers. And one thing in that book that I started realizing was this, the thing that God really wants from us is full commitment and full surrender, not a partial surrender. And I just knew that was the thing I needed to start asking him for. Was, I don't know what full surrender means. I don't know what that looks like to be fully surrendered to God, and what it means to just wholeheartedly follow after Jesus. So I began asking him that in college. And meanwhile, at that time, just felt like there was so much in my life, so much brokenness and sin, things that I knew that I couldn't deal with on my own. But I knew that I needed God, and I knew that I needed his rescue in that. And so throughout college, I began to just continue asking God and praying for him to get a hold of my heart and help me understand what it means to be fully surrendered to him. And long story short, I met my wife, Amanda, who is someone who God used powerfully to reveal what an intimate relationship could look like with God, and especially in the area of prayer. And we got married right at the end of college at 22, and just the weight of everything in my life began to well up. I was looking ahead at my future. I didn't know what was really ahead, as far as what I wanted to do for a career. I was studying graphic design at the time. But I knew that there was something more. I knew that there was something in my life that I really needed to surrender over to God fully. And it wasn't until we got married and just the weight of being a husband and then just what life I knew should look like welled up. And one night in particular, all my brokenness, all my sin just like spilled out. And I was like, God, like, I need you to rescue me. And I used the kind of analogy. I felt like I was in a pit for my whole life that I was trying to crawl out of. But I knew I could never get out in my own strength. But I never fully understood God's love and his nature as a rescuer and as someone who can do that for you, and rescue you from your own sin and brokenness.
So how tell me more about that moment. Like, did anything like set it up? Like, I don't actually know. Like, you just said right there, I just had one of those moments where it's all crashing in on me or whatever. And yeah, kind of one of those, come to Jesus moments, like literally a come to Jesus moments sort of thing. Like, was there anything leading up to that, or did it just kind of crash on you in one evening, or what happened there?
Yeah, I think for me specifically, it was sin. It was a sin issue, a specific sin issue in my life that was just undealt with ever since I was a teenager. And I knew that I needed deliverance and needed freedom from this specific sin issue. And it was something that began to affect relationships and my relationship with Amanda, my wife at the time. And it just became so clear that there was no way forward in my own strength. And so my prayers and my desperation, I guess, like to come to God and say, I'm desperate for to be saved, not just saved to, you know, go to heaven someday, but I need to be saved for myself. I need to be saved from this bondage that I was in my own mind and my own view of myself and my own view of God. I didn't really know God. And so I kind of brought that all to him and said, God, if you're real, like, make salvation real to me in this moment and help me to really discover that freedom that I know is possible in the gospel.
Desperation is super powerful. Like, just thinking through the Bible, it's those who are just going desperate for God. I mean, just such a catalyst for meeting with God. And it's amazing that he met with you there. Anything else about this story, or what do you want to convey about like encouragement from this story?
Yeah, I think just the nature of God. It's funny, as I was thinking about these different stories of reawakening in my life, I saw kind of a theme and almost reawakening to the different persons of God. Like, in that season, it was really the person of Jesus, and that he is full of love and full of forgiveness and full of grace. And even growing up in the church and having those familiarity with the things of God, I never fully understood forgiveness and never understood the love of God and the grace that could actually transform my life. And so I just wholeheartedly received that in that season. And I think a big part of that was the forgiveness and the grace that was shown to me by others. I began receiving that from my friends, from Amanda, from my family. And it was just so clear that God was using all avenues to get to me, whatever the cost on his part. He's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring my son home. I remember the story of the prodigal son just was one of the first kind of scriptures that came alive to me in that season. I never really read my Bible. I knew the stories, but to read it personally, I remember opening up and reading the story of the prodigal son and just weeping and being like, this is me. Like, this is me and my father coming back home and finally being reconciled to God for the first time. So I consider that my born again moment. So all I'd say, just keep pursuing, keep asking God if there's something that you're desperate for in him.
So you have this moment, but it also sounds a little bit like it's a season. How, is that like a couple days? Is it like a couple weeks of this? Or, you know, while as this truth revelation of Jesus and his grace, as it's kind of coming to you from different angles, is it a long period of time?
I think that night was a catalyst for it. Just the tears and the spilling it out, making myself completely vulnerable to God in my own personal life. But then over the course of weeks and months and just the following seasons, it was all about discovering God and just once again, every day coming before him saying, like, my life is yours. I'm committing to you. I'm not looking back anymore. I'm not wondering what if or what should have been or what could have been. I'm looking ahead and pursuing you wholeheartedly. So that was like a catalyst on one night, but really it was a whole season of weeks and months that led up to that and followed that moment.
I have a theory, and this isn't from the Bible, so I'm I just
I just keep it quiet. I don't tell anybody. But I have this theory about Jesus imparting pieces of his gospel to people. And it's like there's so much to the gospel. There's so much of what Christ did, but he gives a super clear revelation of one aspect of his gospel that then we experience and we cherish, and then we get the joy of proclaiming. Like, here's some of the great news of Jesus. And it sounds like he just entrusted you with just that powerful revelation of that aspect of his gospel. That's pretty great.
Yeah. And I love, just like as a final thought on that story, that if anyone's listening and you feel like your brokenness is something you have to bear up and something that you have to work out of, or something you have to discover freedom or something in, like, God wants to be that source of deliverance for you. So if you're feeling sin issues, brokenness, anything like that, that's the true revelation of the gospel, is that Jesus paid the price for us to be free from that. And so we can be his again. So everything is made available for us to be reconciled and reunited to God. That's what I experienced that night.
It's powerful. Once you stop getting past like, okay, I've got to kind of earn this, or what can I do? No, it's Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good. Okay. So that's that first reawakening story. Wow. Praise Jesus for that. How about another time in your life where you felt like God's breakthrough or boost or reawakening or something like that?
Yeah. So for me, I, like I said, was studying graphic design, and that was going to be my career path. And what I wanted to give my time and energy to was art and creativity. And that's still something that I love to do to this day, and find that God uses in a powerful way. But from that moment on, a seed was planted in me where I realized, my life is not my own anymore. I want to be a vessel that God could use to bring freedom to people, to do in some way replicate what he did in my life into other people's lives. I saw so many people that desperately needed God but didn't know how to find him, and friends and coworkers. And so we started praying, Amanda and I, in those early marriage years, just, God, use us in whatever way you want. And missions was always the first thing that he brought our minds to, not necessarily overseas missions or cross-cultural missions, but just to be in that missionary mindset. And I remember talking to a pastor who was a pastor back home in Washington, actually at our home church. And he planted the idea in our head of coming out to do young adults ministry in the Seattle area. And if you're not familiar with the Seattle area, it's very unchurched, and in a lot of ways very unreached with the gospel. And so many people, young people, have fled the church and are just kind of disillusioned with God, or just uncertain of who God is, or have questions that go unanswered. And a lot of my friends from back home were in that boat. And so I began to feel compassion for that, and began to ask the Lord, like, show us if that's where you want us to go, like, lead us back to Washington and help us to, I guess, just be a light in that community and whatever that looked like. And so, long story short, we ended up moving back to Washington, and it wasn't for like a job or any sort of, you know, like ministry position, but just to be missionaries in the community. I worked at Starbucks at the time, and so a lot of my initial experiences was with coworkers and just like sharing the life of Jesus with them and hearing their stories and beginning to relearn, I guess, the culture of Seattle after being gone for my uni years. But originally, when we first arrived, I felt so out of my depth. I felt so vulnerable, so desperate for God. I didn't really know what it meant to lead a ministry or to be a pastor or whatever. It was all brand new to me, even though my dad was a pastor. And I just remember in that season feeling like there were so many like methods of ministry, and people all had their own opinions and beliefs, and it was just all so confusing. I was like, what direction should I go? Lord, how should I approach this? I know you've done something in me, and I acknowledge that, and I want to see that done in other people, but I don't really know what that looks like. And the first thing that he started to teach me was the Holy Spirit has to be the one that you listen to. You have to learn to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. And immediately I was like, okay, that should be my focus. And so once again, I began to ask him. That was the one thing I knew I could do, is I could ask God to teach me. And I asked him, teach me how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Teach me how to discern his wisdom and his guidance. And through different people. He started leading me to different people, some friends who helped me, who were further along in that journey of hearing the Holy Spirit's voice. And they just started to encourage me in that. I remember going to a few conferences where my eyes were just open to the possibility of what church ministry looks like in a community where the supernatural was a normative thing. Like, you were starting to see, like, people were getting healed. There were words of knowledge and things that in the Bible we read about, but actually I was seeing it firsthand and knowing that, like, this can't be just people making this up. This is real. And it just blew my mind. And I was like, Lord, I don't have a lot to give, but if I could hear your voice and tap into what your heart is for people, show me what that looks like. And so I, like I said, experienced those things. And then, as I began to trust him, as I began to pray, for that leading and guidance, he led me to other people who prayed over me, prayed for just like a quickening, I guess, that my relationship with the Holy Spirit would be invigorated and just ignited. And, but I began to pursue the Holy Spirit, and I was prayed over. I began to experience the tangible manifestations of the Holy Spirit for the first time, like in my physical body, which was so brand new to me. Speaking in tongues, praying in tongues was so foreign to me at that time. But I began, I remember meeting with a pastor in our community. We just met at Starbucks, and I asked him all the questions about what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to know the Holy Spirit. And he showed me in the book of Acts, like, different instances when believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues was something that happened. And so I was like, Lord, if this is something from you, I want it. I want whatever it is from you, but I don't know how to receive it. And so I was prayed over, and then I remember going out to my car, and immediately I didn't feel in that moment that there was something that tangibly happened, but I remember going out to my car and just breaking down once again and just crying out to God for just more of him, more clarity, more wisdom in ministry, and just a desire to know him more. And there was just an urge in me to pray, and I didn't know what to pray. And so just by faith, I felt like there was prayer that was coming out, and it wasn't in a known language that I knew. And so I began to pray in tongues for the first time, which was just such a wild experience. And I felt like at that moment I didn't want to stop, because I felt like it would go away if I stopped praying in tongues after, like, you know, 3 hours or something. But from that point on, I felt like, I always use the analogies, I was seeing God in black and white, and I felt like in that moment I was seeing him in full color. And my experiences with my coworkers, I began to get words for them and hearing God's heart for them in a clearer and clearer way. And it was just a moment where, ministry stuff aside and planning events aside, I was able to really hear God's heart for people and to speak into that and to encourage and to build them up into the gospel and what it meant to know Jesus. And so, I got words of knowledge about healing that I never even knew. I just got impressions that would come to me. And so it was like a quickening of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And from that point on, it's become just more of a day-to-day relationship with him, where I know that he's in me, I know that he speaks, and I know that I can always come to him with questions and ask him for what his heart is for people.
Wow. So there is a lot there. There's a lot there in that bit there. The things that jump out to me is this idea of my philosophy of ministry is listen to the Holy Spirit and see what he wants to be. I mean, again, there's a lot of wisdom out there. I appreciate the wisdom out there. But, like, okay, reading this book or going to this conference, great. There's a lot of wise stuff out there. But Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do here? And it's that I just love that philosophy of ministry. You're just kind of seeking God on that. But it sounds like your reawakening moment really came down to the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and being having a life change after you were saved, after your salvation moment, which you talked about before, like just feeling this feel. And you said it took place, what, at a conference or something like that?
There was a conference that opened my eyes to it. Okay. And then I pursued it from that point on. I said, if this is real, Lord, show me what it's like. So in the weeks after that, I I asked the Lord to reveal it to me personally, but also through other people. And I'm a very naturally skeptical person. And so that's how I know it was a supernatural work of God, because I was so skeptical and uncertain and didn't even know if my own thoughts were my thoughts or God's thoughts. And I just went through all that stuff in your head that we can all get into. And so I was like, God, you have to make it really, really abundantly clear that this is from you. And he just did that. And through other people, through pastors, through leaders, through friends, through Amanda, even like Amanda actually received the same experience a couple months before me. And so that sparked a desire to know what was going on in our own marriage, because she experienced the Holy Spirit in a really powerful way that I won't go into, but that inspired me to be like, okay, Lord, you got a hold of my wife now. I'm surrendered to you. So if you want me to have something, I'm ready and willing to step out, even if it's weird or if it's not what I was used to growing up.
Yeah. I think one of the things I love about that, or several of the things I love about that, is just how it's pursuing. Like, you're putting yourself into environments where you're being exposed to new thoughts and ideas. You're going to these conferences, or you're pursuing it. And I think a lot of times we just kind of sit back and just be like, oh, you know, God, just meet me in as I'm doing nothing in pursuit, you know, and like, oh, I don't know why I'm fading, but there's just something that is rewarded about those who earnestly seek and who are, yeah, I'll pay the money to go to a conference and who knows, or even if it's in your case, out of my box theologically, then wow, powerful. It's amazing how Holy Spirit got a hold of you in a season again. Like there was that, he probably gave you those thoughts at the beginning, and then you're thinking about them over the next, because you're a thinker, thinking about them over the next little bit. Great.
Yeah. Wow. Can I say one last thought?
Please do. Yeah.
I would just say, like, desperation, like the theme for me in these reawakening moments is my desperation for God led to asking. It led to an intentionality, just like what you said, that pursuing him, but pursuing him for me always looks like asking him those really real questions, saying, God, if this is real, show it to me, reveal it to me. And yeah, like I said, there are so many different types of ministry, and just like how you acknowledged, like that comes from wisdom, that comes from years and years of experience that people have put into things. But all the people I look up to and all the people I've known who have led amazing movements or ministries, or just God's used in powerful ways, they always have this connection to God on a personal level. And so to get it from God personally and for you is always the most life-transforming thing. It's good to receive it from other people and to be encouraged and to be pointed towards God from other people's experiences, but to get it directly from God is the ultimate goal. And so that's what the most powerful moments in my life have always come when I receive something directly from God.
Amazing. Okay, do you have a third time in your life where you felt like a reawakening boost?
Yeah, so this one actually is very recent. We moved as missionaries in 2020 to work alongside Rehope, at Rehope, on staff at Rehope, for the mission and just the ministry of bringing reawakening to Scotland, and specifically in Glasgow. And so we've been here now for 3 years, which is hard to believe. But in that 3 year time, we had a son, who we brought over, and he was just one year old at the time that we moved to Glasgow. But just this last autumn, we had our second boy. His name's August, and he was born in October, not in August, but he was born in October, and right in the middle of kind of the busiest ministry season, students are coming back into the city. The ministries are kicking off, things are just happening. And we knew it was going to be a busy time. We knew having a second baby was going to be a lot to manage. Our first child, Quill, was actually a really easy baby. And so he made it easy on us as parents to move cross-culturally, which I think was a gift from God. But having August, we knew he's a different kid. He could be easy, could not be easy. But we were just thinking, Lord, you're going to strengthen us through it. Amanda had August on October 1st, and we went into a season where Amanda was on maternity leave. I took a few weeks off of paternity leave, and then we went into a season where we realized August was not the same baby as Quill. He was actually a very tough baby in a lot of ways. He struggled to sleep. He struggled to eat. He required a lot more just effort on our part as parents. And like I said, right in the middle of the busiest season of church, it started to compile, and we realized this is going to be from you, God. We have to really lean into you. Over the course of a few months, just the sleepless nights, and once again that desperation, I realized that there was something that was beyond my control as a dad to manage, and even as a husband to encourage Amanda in the midst of her sleep depravity and her struggling kind of through those early season moments with August. And then on top of that, I was approached, actually not by you, Brian, but by Laura, who is the lead pastor of the Weston campus, to fill in a new role as she goes on sabbatical. And so there was kind of new opportunities, new things that I was stepping into. And I just said yes, because I was like, God, you can do it. If you're calling this new opportunity for me to step into, then I know you'll equip me for it. But I had no idea what it would look like. So all that to say, I was coming into the new year in 2023 feeling very, very depleted and very tired as a dad, feeling very inadequate in a lot of ways. Like, I wasn't being a good enough dad. I wasn't being a good enough husband. The ministry stuff, I was putting a lot in the hands of volunteers, and it just felt like I wasn't really sure really what God was speaking at that time. I used the phrase that life was beginning to speak louder than like God's voice. And I know just even from the last story, it was so evident that God wanted to speak to me, and he always wants to speak to me. But I felt like in this season, life started to crowd out that life of God in me, and just that intimacy with him. And so going into 2023, once again, I started asking him. I remember walking up on the university hill, just right in front of the university building, and just going on a prayer walk and saying, God, I need a word for this coming year. What is it that you want to do in my life? And I felt like what he said was, I want refreshing for you. And so my word for 2023 was refresh, to be refreshed in him, and to come back to just a new invigoration, I guess, in my spiritual life. And I just felt like, once again, that pursuit to ask him for that over and over, like day by day, I would write out like, God, refresh me in you, refresh me in the things that I know were true 10 years ago, or 8 years ago when I gave my life to you, and help me come back to kind of that first love mindset. And once again, over the season, the coming season, God would begin to use my role, just as kind of a facilitator on like Sunday morning services, and got to lead like pre-service prayer, got to lead our interns in just like different themes of identity and receiving the gospel. And the more that I led in that, the more I realized, God, you want to do this in me too. I'm in a lot of ways, I want the same thing that I'm telling other people to have. So like going up every Sunday and saying, God loves you. But then coming off the stage and being like, but am I loved by God still? Is that something that I am still receiving, even in this hard season? And God just reminded me that no matter what life looks like his love is unconditional. And he brought me once again back to the story of the prodigal son and said, like, this is my nature, is to welcome you back home, and to put aside the hurt and the hardship of life, and just to be like, you're my son first and foremost. You're loved by me. You have an identity in me. That I'm secure in the hands of my father. And I didn't realize how life as a parent could kind of just the day in, day out, cause you in some ways to drift from that reality, and just receiving that in a more personal way. So ministry, it didn't really become just like routine, but I could see how it could have started to, and just like proclaiming truth and proclaiming the gospel to others, and allowing God to use me, but am I really receiving the same things that I know are true about God? So yeah, in that season, I just really felt like God brought that refreshing into my life through those prayers of saying, yeah, God, I need you. I need you to remind me again of your voice over my life, even if circumstances in life look, really hard, really challenging.
Wow. Even just the concept that you were saying at the end there, like the receiving, like how many times can you sit through a church service and like, yeah, that's solid, but not receive, you know, like not receive it into your heart. And you're like, you're teaching it. You in your sense, you're teaching it and yet like also receiving. Oh man. But what a story. What a good Jesus we have that was able to just walk you through those days and these days and powerful. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about that before we wrap up?
Yeah, just say, especially for parents, if there's any parents watching or listening, not watching, if there's any parents listening, just be encouraged that like God is in the moment by moment like experiences that you have in your life. And even not for parents, just anyone, like God works in the mundane or the seemingly mundane moments. And those are really the moments to lean into and to receive from him, because I'm just amazed, like even preparing this and thinking at 22, I had this experience with God. I'm 31 now. So I'm coming up on 10 years of like a journey with like kind of this full, like pressing into God, moving forward in him. And I'm just amazed that over the course of that whole time, the word of God has stayed the same. His promises stay the same. His nature stays the same. Like who he is never changes. We ebb and flow sometimes with life, and in certain seasons, it's easier to trust God and easier to run after him. In certain seasons, it's a bit harder to, in certain seasons, it feels like all you can do is just like pray a prayer of help me, God. And that's totally fine. Like God will use everything that we give him. And so just encouragement, I guess, give God whatever it is that you have, whatever time you have, whatever energy you have, and whatever you have to give God, he'll use it, and he'll use that seed to just grow something amazing and to reveal his goodness in his life to you, and restore you and reawaken you. So.
Wow. Thank you, Stuart. Thank you for those stories, those nuggets. And friends, I encourage you, like this podcast is about reawakening, and you can ask Jesus, like, what is it from Stuart's stories and from his experiences that God wants to nudge you with as you move forward from where you are? Because I want you to be helped by this. I want you to grow in your journey. I want you to feel fresh and alive with Jesus. In fact, that's what I say every week. I want that for you all. But anyways, if you have not yet subscribed to this podcast, please do let people know about it. As you know, it is my heart to see our whole generation reawaken to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. Some people can fumble through this path alone, but everyone does better with help.